Good morning, everybody. Well, I am excited to continue in this series called Playlist. To get started, you have to know some things about me. I am really not that big of a music person. Really, I can have it or I don't have it. I've been known to have students jump in my car and say, "Hey, you think we can like turn on the radio?" Because I will drive with complete silence. So that's the first thing about music. So for picking a song, it was a little difficult. This is the second thing, and agree with me or not, but this is the truth. Country music is not real music. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Hashtag truth. Don't base what I'm going to talk about today off that statement, but it's not real music, sorry. And number three, I am that person, I am that friend that will listen to a song on repeat over and over and over again because it is that good. And so I'm that person. So, for picking my song, I went with a song to this day. If you look, I still have chills when I hear that song. And so I picked a song that gives me chills, that moves me inside, that excites me inside. Now, it's not my favorite song. You may laugh at this. My favorite song is actually We Are the World. No joke. I would listen to that on a record as a little kid growing up. I had it on record. And who can't appreciate the many artists in that song? I mean, there's some great artists in that song and the message of unity. But today's song has some history both in my own past and in the Bible. So if you want to follow along, there's an insert in your bulletin today. You can follow along also with the YouVersion app. And we just ask you to engage with God and His Word and the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit really to speak to you today. Every time I preach, every time, whether it's a message to the kids, whether it's up here, I want to remove myself. I don't want any glory. I want to remove myself and just allow God to speak through me. And so I'm just going to start with a little prayer of that today. God, come down, calm the nerves. Come down, calm the nerves in both myself, even some candidates that will be up here telling their stories in a minute. But God, we want open ears, open minds, and open hearts to what you have to say to us today. God, and I pray that we just don't hear that, but God, that it changes us and that we leave here a changed person. Your son's name I pray. Amen. All right, I want to start with a question today. Is there an obstacle that stands in the way of you growing in your faith with Jesus? Is there an obstacle that stands in the way of you experiencing the best that God has for you? Now, if you're not following Jesus yet, I want to let you know the biggest obstacle has already been removed. When Jesus took our sins and died on that cross and rose again, that great act of love and compassion, that all we need to do is choose to receive it. That obstacle has been removed. And then we need to let that love change us. Let that love transform us. And so I want to invite you to understand that truth today as we journey through God's Word. Now, we're going to be in the Old Testament, but we're also going to be talking a little bit about following Jesus. To following Jesus means we need to walk with Him. To walk with Him, we need to let Him transform our life. It's not an enhancement. Our life doesn't magically get better once we become a follower of Christ. Man, but it does transform us. He changes you. And out of that love, we grow more and more like Him. Now, as we take these next steps in following Jesus, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be walls blocking our way for us experiencing all that God has for us to experience. Now, these obstacles, they come in many different ways. You know, sometimes they're there because God puts them there because maybe we wandered off the path. You know, some obstacles happen because of this thing called life and because of this fallen world. Some obstacles are in our way because of our own decisions. And sadly, some obstacles are there because of decisions of others. I have another question. What are you going to do with those obstacles that stand in the way that's holding you back from fully following Jesus? Today, we're going to look at the story of Joshua on the walls of Jericho. But I want to go back a little further and reflect on his life kind of before this. I kind of imagine Joshua sitting there reflecting all that God has done, maybe sitting at camp. Do you realize Joshua was there when God showed up and brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery into freedom, Joshua was there. He was there when God parted the Red Sea and he got to walk across the dry land to the other side. Joshua was there. Joshua was there. He was one of the two spies that went in, or 10 spies that went into the promised land called Canaan. He was one of the two that said, we can take this city. We can trust God. But others were filled with fear. And they chose to operate in fear. And if you know that story, they wouldn't get to go in. They had to wander in the desert for 40 years. Joshua was there. Many would die, in fact. And generations would not get to go in. But another guy, Joshua and Caleb, would lead them into the promised land. So we're going to start Joshua chapter 1 through 3. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead the people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving you, or giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. If you keep on reading, he kind of then defines the land, kind of lays out the boundaries of this promised land. But God also reminds Joshua in verse 9, This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua hears these words and then he starts getting ready. You know, he would send word through the camp. Get ready. 3 days from now, we cross the Jordan. We take possession of the land that God has promised us. Finally, this is the time. This is the day. We thought it was 40 years ago, but we messed up and now we had to wander. But this is it. Right? This is it. But then Joshua, you know, is like, I don't know how God is going to do it. I just know that he is and he's going to be with us. You know, here he is probably looking at the skyline, wondering how God is going to cross them, but he's seen it in the past, but believing that he will. I think back to my own life. How many times when I have obstacles in my own life holding me back from growing all that God wants me to be and experiencing God to the fullest, man, if I just had Joshua's mindset, I don't know how God's going to do this, but I believe that he will. So I want us to talk about that today a little bit. You see, years ago, I was working at a church plant in Indiana. The church plant was about 450 people. We'd set up and tear down every week. We were in a school. And then within a year, we moved 2 locations, and we were currently at our 3rd location. And we dropped to about 250 people. The leadership decided that changes were needed to be made, and I was let go. At this time, Braylon was about 6 weeks old. Nicole was going to start work again in a few weeks, and I had no job. At first, they said it was because of money, but I had an exit interview that they brought up performance issues. After that, I questioned if I ever wanted to work at church again. I was hurt by church people. Good people who should know better. Good people who 4 years ago were hurt by church themselves. I started looking for jobs outside of church. Interview after interview after interview fell through. Then I began to think nobody wanted me. I did the stay-at-home dad thing for a little bit, fell in love with it, but I still felt something was missing inside. At this time, we were trying to figure out what church we would go to, what church we would worship and serve. Nicole had a little strong calling to go back to her home church, but I didn't. But God did. You see, we would go back to her home church, and they actually had an opening. I ended up becoming the part-time middle school pastor. I still got to do what I loved, the stay-at-home dad thing, being with my family, but also doing what God called me to do and serve students. But then church drama would happen a few years later. God called most of those pastors away, and we were at a standstill. We didn't know what to do next. Joshua found himself sitting at camp at a little standstill. It was a new camp, you see, because God had come through. God had allowed them to cross the Jordan River, so now they were in the promised land. They were able to set up camp, but they were able to see Jericho. They were able to see their obstacle in their way. Jericho was a big city surrounded by these huge walls. And Joshua is looking at it, taking it all in. You know, he's charged with the army. His job is to figure out the next steps. To get to where God was taking him, he would have to go through Jericho. Jericho had walls that seemed too big to overcome. You know, the Bible tells us he's sitting there, he's taking in Jericho, and then a man approaches him with a sword drawn. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 5 to see what happens next. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I'm the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did what he was told. This is what I love about this. Joshua's here at this camp. He's looking at his obstacle in the way, his Jericho. Let me ask you a question. What is your Jericho? What are your walls? Those things that seem too great to overcome and you growing with your faith. For you experiencing the best that God has for you. Can you name it? Maybe if you can't, you can think back of a time that there was an obstacle. Maybe God had to move so you could fully engage him. What's your Jericho? What is your wall? You see, Joshua was tough. He was a warrior. But in this moment, he totally yielded to God's authority. I can ask this question in my life, and I can ask it in your life. Do we submit to God's authority in our life? I can answer that right now, not all the time. Do we submit to God's authority in our life? Do we want what he wants? What his best is our best? And do we believe and trust in that? I love the simple language right at the end. And Joshua did as he was told. And he submitted to the authority in his life. He fell face down to the ground, humbling himself. And being face down was an act of reverence as a soldier. Also, as a soldier, being face down would mean he exposed the back of his neck so he could be killed or wounded very easily. Man, for us, when we read and hear God's word and the truth of that, submitting to his authority, surrendering to his will. And surrendering means putting our faith and our trust in him. And not my will, but yours be done. We trust him. I know that sounds so simple, but that's really at the heart of what we're talking about. Man, if we want to see obstacles in our way of getting close to Jesus, we have to trust him. Trust him to help move the obstacles. Trust him to help break down the walls. You know, seeing all this with Joshua trusting, submitting, acknowledging Jesus' authority, I wonder if some of our own spiritual defeats can be tracked down to times when we're not really focused on his will, but more of ours. Those times when we don't trust him, but we trust ourselves or somebody else. And then we sit and wonder, why? Why? What is this world coming to? Or why do I have this happening? And why are these walls here? But we need to approach these walls, these obstacles, with love, with trust, rooted in love and grace. You know, sometimes the walls aren't always tangible things. The walls are there because how we choose to respond to things. Am I going to respond in a way that acknowledges God's authority? Am I going to respond in a way that shows that I'm living in trust? Man, any wall that impacts our relationship with Jesus needs to fall. Any wall that impacts our relationship with Jesus needs to fall. You see, Nicole and I would eventually resign from that church, not really knowing what the next steps was. We fully felt God wanted us to move on, but not sure of what was next. She lived in Indiana most of her life. She was at her job since graduating college. We had 2 kids. God was taking care of us. She had family there. We could have really stayed in Indiana the rest of our life. But we had friends who would journey this next part of the life with us and continue to journey today. You see, after I resigned, I took a phone call from a guy named Terry Bate. He wanted to see about my interest in moving to Michigan. I didn't have any. But I continued that phone conversation somehow, some way. This opportunity that turned into a friendship that would present an opportunity, and an opportunity that presents itself to my life today. We didn't take this decision lightly. You know, we had been hurt by church. Kids started school already. They had friends. We had family. But we also had friends journeying with us, pushing us to be all that God called us to be, pushing us to remove the walls we put up from fully trusting Him. And you see, that's how it is with Jesus. And He's there by your side, guiding, encouraging you along the way. And we have His Word, the Bible, to guide and direct us. You know, He's not calling, He's not texting or emailing like our friends were. But man, a lot of truth can be found in the Bible to speak to your life, to your heart. And the reason I share the message I do with you today, because I had a friend share this similar message with me, and I will never forget it. Continuing on in Joshua's story, Joshua chapter 6, 1 through 5. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in and out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its kings, and all of its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priest blowing the horns. And when you hear the priest give one loud blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people will charge straight into town. Sometimes these obstacles of our journey can feel so huge. They can feel huge. But maybe our relationship with Jesus is bigger. And what I mean by that is, the walls didn't go around all of the promised land. You know, sure they could have maneuvered around the walls, but at some point they had to take Jericho. They had to take Jericho. They could have circled back around, but they had to take Jericho. If they were going to experience all that God has for them, those walls had to fall. Those walls had to be torn down. We have walls in our life that stand between us and what God has the best for us. I don't know what those walls is for you, but God does. And maybe you need to remove those walls. Maybe you need to remove those walls and be baptized today if there's a wall holding you back. Maybe you need to be a different person this school year when school starts. Maybe you need to be a different person at work, in your marriage, at home. God was calling them to deal with it now. And the same goes for us. What's the name of your Jericho? What's the name of your wall? Stop avoiding it. Deal with it. Because spoiler alert, through God, the walls do fall. You know, after moving to Michigan, the doubts didn't fully go away. I doubted if it was the right move for our kids, for my wife, even for myself. I doubted if I was making a difference in the lives of the community, in students' lives, my neighborhood. I was debating with my own self, fighting temptation, hearing complaints, and fighting the own voices in my head. But I was encouraged by Joshua's story. I was reminded by Joshua's story. And this last part is one of my favorites, and it's why I picked the song. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. When the people heard the sounds of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. And I'm a loud person, so that's not why I picked it. But suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into town and captured it. Now, I didn't picture it because they charged straight in and they captured it. But did you catch that? Before the walls fell, they were obedient. And just not obedient, obedience rooted in faith. They yelled before the walls fell. When you go to a football game, you cheer after the touchdown. Baseball game, you cheer after the home run. Basketball game, you cheer after the basket. If you go to a performance, you stand up and clap after it's over. They shouted before the walls fell. Obedience rooted in faith will praise God before the walls have even fallen. My question for you today is, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have the kind of faith that you believe that God loves you so much that you say that into your own life? That I will praise you even before the walls have fallen. Even before God knocks down the walls. Now here's where my song comes in. During when Hillsong sings this, the live part, the words go like this, and we sung it here. With everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, we will shout forth your praise. And then it's none of those words that get me. It's the instrumental part where they do nothing, but then they sing this part. And forgive me, but I'm going to sing it a little bit, so forgive me. I'm not a singer. Whoa. Whoa. So they sing, whoa. That's all they sing. That's all they sing. But during down times in my life, I listen to this song. And during those whoas, man, I shout as loud as I can. Reminding me that I need to shout. That I need to praise God before the walls in my life come down. Now, we're not told what they shout. It probably didn't sound anything like the whoas. But I can tell you this, it was a shout of obedience. It was a shout of faith. It was a shout of trust. So Steve and the band is going to come. They're going to lead us in that song. And we're going to sing the woes this time. We're going to sing them. Man, and I just invite you during that time to shout in obedience. To shout in faith. And to shout in trust as we sing. A shout of triumph, a shout of faith, a shout of trust, and a shout of obedience. Man, a shout that would encourage others and strike fear in the enemy. At the beginning, I asked about your walls. You know, I can't promise you that they will fall, but will you praise Him even before they do? Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is being confident in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see." Thank you. Oh, I need to pray for you.
Yes.
Yes, I need to pray for you. I can't forget to pray. Let me pray for you. God, I can't promise walls will fall. But God, help us. Help us in those times when we're down. Help us those times when they're dark. Help us to praise you. Trusting you that they will fall. Even if they don't. Your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
Thanks.